Well, a few years ago, there was a very famous TED Talk that came out, or that at least became well-known and popular by an author and speaker. His name is Simon Sinek. And his primary point of this talk, have you guys heard of these TED Talks? They're like really short, kind of brief things. All right, Jake. This guy, his main point of this short talk that he was doing was that we need to start with why. Why defines the how, and we get that. That makes sense, right? That the reason that we do things is that we need to know why we're doing something, because once we know why we're doing something, then that shapes what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and all of those things. And so that makes total sense. And sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that and why we're doing something. And that's sort of where we want to start this morning. And while it's important to start with the why, I think maybe a harder thing is to stay with the why. It's true of businesses, organizations, individuals. It's also true for the church. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning as we just introduce this new series that we're going to be with over the next 4 or 5 weeks. And it's this. We want to talk about why we're doing what we're doing. We've heard it said that it's the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. And the reality is that organizations, individuals, and even the church, we tend to drift if we're not careful. How many of you have ever been to how many of you like to go to the beach for vacation? Like plenty of us, right? I hear that. I have plans for my road trip out west this summer, and all I hear from my kids is that they just want to go to the beach. And so I'm like, oh man, it's going to be so great out there. But in my head, so we'll see. But all they want to do is see the water, see the ocean, and hang out there. But so we do that. You know, we all do that, right? And so for our family and those that we've ended up getting to the beach with, there we are. We got our troop, and we're all headed out to the beach. And it's not just a little bit of stuff that we're taking. We seem like we have to take the 15-passenger van down to get it all there. And we're all lugging it all out. And as they've grown, not just the chairs and the towels and the umbrellas and the buckets and the shovels and all this kinds of stuff, and as they've gotten older, what we took bocce balls, I think, one time, right? And what's the other stuff, the Frisbee game? Can jam. And can jam, it just seems like there's always more and more. And you get there, and you finally get all plopped down, and you're, like, ready just to relax. And that's when the relaxing begins, right, Kristen? No. Then she turns into the lifeguard, and she has to keep on alert the whole time. Because what happens whenever we go out in the water? You go out in the water, the ocean, the surface coming in, the waves, and you think, you're not even trying to, but before you know it, you are 100 yards down the coast, right? And so that's where mom is just constantly on it, saying, get back up here. And so there is that tendency for all of us to drift. And so our responsibility and what we want to do this morning and through this series is just to remind us of why we're here and keeping the main thing the main thing. And so that's why we keep on saying, that's why it's printed on everything around here, that our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus. And so it's a simple principle, but here's something that we want to just talk about here this morning that we can apply to every area of our life, especially in leadership. It's great for businesses, nonprofits, government, education, all kinds of places. And the principle is powerful whenever it's implemented. And it's this, that leaders are repeaters. Leaders are repeaters. I think if we go to the next slide, then we're going to be good for the rest of the time. There we are. So leaders are repeaters. And it simply means that leaders stay on message. They repeat the message, and they say it over and over, and they say the main thing, they stay on the main thing, keeping the main thing the main thing. And it takes a while for a vision to stick, doesn't it? I mean, that's why maybe as parents, we tell our kids, hey, did you brush your teeth? You need to brush your teeth. Hey, did you brush your teeth? And it's like, I don't know, maybe it's not your house. It's my house. Did you brush your teeth? It's a new day. Did you brush your teeth? We got it. Just we say it over and over because it's important. It's worth saying over and over. Maybe it's as a spouse, you might wonder, how often do I need to say this till they get it? Like putting the dishes in the dishwasher. That's why as a boss, employee, teacher, or friend, you might wonder, just keep on saying things. Because if a message is worth implementing, then it is worth repeating, right? How many of you like Chick-fil-A? Plenty of you? Okay, so when you go to Chick-fil-A and you say thank you to one of their team or their staff, what do they say? Oh, it's a beautiful sentence. Who was that? That's right. They're right on it. They say my pleasure back to you. And this, how that happened, they just come, that we even know that that's what they say. It's because Truett Cathy, the late founder there for Chick-fil-A, that he announced this to a nationwide convention of all the franchisees and the staff there. And he said that whenever someone says, thank you, I want you to say my pleasure. It's something that he had experienced somewhere else. And so he went out to some of the stores and he would say thank you to their team. And what do you think they said? They said, you're welcome. And so that's not exactly at all what he wanted to be hearing. And so what does he do? Did he get mad about it? No, he just went back and he started just talking about and repeating it over and over and over. And so now whenever we go in, that's what we hear. My pleasure. And so the point here is that it's extremely important to stay on why. And that's what we want to talk about today as we gather together. And so to help us stay on why, I want to remind us of the answer to this question. What do we want to be known for? What do we want to be known for? It's a question for us all to be thinking about, especially for us as a church as we talk about in that regard. It's a good question for any organization. If you're a business person, you want, that's what you want to be hearing and know from the customers who come to you. It's also a great question for a school. It's a great question for us as a church and for us individually. What do we want to be known for? And so to help us answer this question, it's helpful to get some outside perspective in terms of what a business, organization, or a church is currently known for. And so let's talk about the church in general. What is the church known for? There's lots of answers, but I think let's think about the question from the perspective of someone who is unchurched, someone who's not involved in a church. What would their answer be? And again, we're generalizing here, but maybe the following statement, it might be one for us to at least consider when it comes to unchurched people. And it's this, that many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. That many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. And so then if this is true, and I think it is, I was just talking with someone this past week or two as we were meeting, and they were talking about sharing our faith and talking, you know, and bringing these things up. And what is it that people think about? What do you think some of the obstacles or the challenges for them? And I just threw this statement out there and said, yeah, there might be something to that. Then the church isn't for them. Next slide. Church isn't for them because the church isn't for them. I mean, just think about that. Why isn't the church isn't for them is maybe the mindset and the perspective that they have, because the church in their minds and what they have come to know isn't for them. Just envision someone in your minds, like sitting on a couch, some random person out there sitting on a couch. And think about this. Church isn't even on their radar screen. The church isn't even a selection option for a Sunday whenever they think about what am I going to do on a Sunday morning or time. Like one of the options, there might be going out for a walk, going for a run, going to a park, going sleeping, you know. The church isn't even one of the options to pick. And while it's not about church attendance, it is about fulfilling the calling that we have been given as a church. And our role is that we want to shrink the gap between the guy on the couch and the church. And the question is, how do we do this? We want to create a church that this guy would love to attend, or this gal. It's may a men, women, couples, single adults, children, students, everyone. How is it that we can shrink that gap between the person who is sitting on the couch and has no interest at all of, or even thinking of it, to where we can have a conversation and connect with them in some manner? And so how do we do this? Well, we're not the first ones who have wondered this. In fact, the early church talks about this kind of thing. And there was a lot of debate about it in Acts chapter 15. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 15, and we can just real briefly just take a look at what was going on there in that time for the early church and see what they decided to do. What's going on here in this passage as you turn to it is this, that Gentiles were placing their faith in Jesus, and they were following and becoming Christ followers. And the discussion came up as to whether these Gentiles needed to be circumcised like the rest of the Jews. And so Paul and Barnabas, they're sent to go and have this discussion with the leaders of the early church. And they go, and they're telling of all the amazing things and the ways that God is showing up and revealing himself to Gentiles. And Gentiles are coming to place their faith in Jesus. And so if you're in Acts chapter 15, and let's just read verses 6 through 11 there. It says this, "The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, 'Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will.'" So Peter, he's standing up, he says, why are we going to make this difficult for them? And after a bit more discussion and hearing from Paul and Barnabas what had taken place, James, the leader of the early church, he stands up in verse 19 and he says this, "Therefore my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but we should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood." But there's the verse I want us to, that we just want to come around here throughout this series as we start off. Verse 19 says this, "It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God." Let's go back to the guy on the couch that we're just thinking of, or whoever it is. What we have been called to do is to not make it difficult for people to turn to God. And so how do we do this? How do you create a church that the person on the couch would even consider attending or being a part of? How do you connect with the person on the couch who has no interest and maybe already has at some point already said no to the church, or maybe even to Jesus for that matter? Because saying no to the church isn't the same thing as saying no to Jesus, but maybe that's where they're at. And so that takes us back to the question of what do we want to be known for? And so this morning as we talk about this, our answer is that we want to be known as being a people who are for our schools, that we are a people who are for adults, for students, for children, for everyone, for businesses, for Harrisburg. And the reason that we are for people is because God is for them. And so today we're launching this thing throughout this series that we're just going to come around as, and we're calling it For Harrisburg. And in doing so, we are going to create, our desire is to create three things with that person on the couch who is an unchurched person. And that is that we want to create common ground, we want to create conversations, and we want to create connections. And all of this is with Acts chapter 15, verse 19 in mind. We want to make it easy for those who are sitting on that couch to come to God. You know, that's what we're all about. It's about helping people find and follow after Jesus and to know life that is found alone in Christ. And so let's talk about the creating common ground piece just for a little bit. For many who don't go to church, they believe that it's because they have nothing in common with those who go to church. And as a result of that, the perception is that there isn't any, that they don't share anything in common. There's nothing to talk about. And that couldn't be further from the truth. This week as I'm just sitting thinking about this in my own life, it's real easy for all of us to come up, well, we have so much in common. We have like everything in common almost. You know, we go to the same grocery stores. We go to the same banks, businesses. I drive on the same roads. I live in the same neighborhood. My kids go to the same schools. Our kids go to the same schools. We play on the same sports teams. And even as a church, we're out there and we're serving in the community. I mean, through the years, we've done rake and runs, just going around serving in that way. We've gone to parks and cleaned up trash and helped, you know, do some weeding. We've gone around and we've served in, you know, at the pregnancy center, you know, for those serving those who are in crisis situations. We've served the homeless through Bethesda Mission. We've participated in building a local playground. We've held events there, all kinds of stuff. There is so much in common. And when we create common ground, we get to tell people, you know, you want this to be a great place to live? We do too. You want this to be a great place to raise kids? We do too. You want businesses to thrive around here? Guess what? We do too. You want the parks to be clean, people to be served? We do too. We have so much in common. And so for far too long, the church has had either an adversarial relationship with people who don't go to church or a non-existent relationship with those who go to church. And so there's that thing of we want to create common ground, but we want to create common ground because we want to create conversations. Conversations where we can talk about things, and that's a main reason why we're coming up with this For Harrisburg thing. And there's lots of ways we can do this, and we want to create opportunities for people to ask you about this so we can create conversations. Today, you're going to be getting on the way out of here. We made up these magnets, car magnets. My wife loves car magnets. I'm bringing up Kristen a lot today. Happy Mother's Day. So we created these magnets that we're going to ask you and give to you as you leave. And it just says For Harrisburg on there. And the idea we want to come around this week is that I just want to ask you to consider doing is this idea called Pay It Backwards. And it's, the idea is simply this, that you put it on your car, and this week sometime go through a drive-through at a restaurant and or somewhere, and then pay for the person's meal behind you or their drink if you're going to someplace, you know, else, and just pay for their drink behind you or their meal. And as they're getting informed of that in front, they're going to get to see this picture, this little magnet that says For Harrisburg, and they're going to go from there, and they're going to maybe later that day just be able to start conversations like, hey, there was this person, that this happened to me today, and this is a real neat, encouraging, nice thing that that person did. And we're creating conversations, and from that point on, we just pray that God would do whatever he does, and that God begins to take the common ground and the conversations so that then he can create connections. That God can take the moments, conversations, and begin to shrink the gap between people and the church, between the lost and himself. And so what I'm asking us to do is to do just that, create common ground, create conversations, and to create connections. Now the thing about car magnets, right? Just behave, okay? And you're driving and all that kind of stuff, because you're representing, right? So we should be known for what we are for. And that's what Acts 15 is all about. What are we for? What is it that's really important? And in closing, here's a question that I think every church should consider and that we want to consider. If our church went out of business, would the community even notice? If the church went out of business, would the community even notice? And you saw up there a slide a moment ago. For far too long, the church has been known for what we are against. We should be known for what we are for. You know, we've wrestled with that question for many years now. But just for all of us, if our church went out of business, would the community even notice? And when a church is for the community, for people, and deeply desires to introduce them to the love of their Heavenly Father, that's what we're all about, helping people find and follow Jesus, they become a community partner in a very beautiful way. And so let's work together this week. Will you help me show our community that we are for them because God is for them? It's not a new message. It's been the message of this church ever since Acts, the book of Acts. And we are just rallying around these three letters, for, that spell for, because God is for them. And it's a way for us to communicate that and be reminded that this is why we're here. And in the back, I'm just looking at this big piece of wood that a whole bunch of us signed and put our names on and our desire for the community center that's next door. And that's why we're doing it. A big reason why we're doing it is for Harrisburg, to be a blessing to our community. And so that's our why. And I just want to keep us there on our why, and our why is Jesus. He is everything to us, and he is our only hope. And he is, as we've sang and we're reminded of in our worship today, that we are hopelessly lost because of our sin, because of our failure, every single one of us, but it's only because of Jesus that we have any hope, that we have any joy, that we have any reason to sing and reason to keep on living. It's all about him. And so this is what we want to do. what James said. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. And so let's bow our heads as we close today. In a moment, we're going to sing a song that just speaks about how much God is for us. As we just close our time together today, Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for your blessings. We thank you. We want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness to us. As we come around and we just have these three little letters put before us that create this short little word for, God, might that just be in our brains this week as we go, to know that you are for us, that you are ever faithful, you're constant, you are gracious, full of mercy. And we fall short so many times. We've turned our backs on you so many times, and we've gotten distracted from what is most important and who you are. And yet you are for us, and you constantly come to us, and you bring encouragement to our lives, and you give us peace. And so, God, as we experience that you are for us, God, might we just be changed from the inside out in such a way, God, that we can't help but allow you to shine through. And our desire and our prayer is that we would be known as a people and as a church who would desire to be a blessing in our community and who are for our community here. We're for Harrisburg. We're for this nation. We're for the world. Because ultimately, we are for you. God, we thank you for your reckless love, that we couldn't earn it, that we don't deserve it, but yet you pursue us. So Jesus, that's why we sing today. In your name we pray. Amen.